you'd rise with me for the scripture reading. Today's reading comes out of John 14. John chapter 14, verse 6. Again, John 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You may be seated. I'd like to invite Elder John come and give us the first part in his message series, Quest for Life.
Good morning. It's always with certain trepidation and joy that appear before you. I want to start a series on what I titled The Quest for Life. The purpose of this series is to give an account for our Christian experience in knowing God, and with that knowledge that we may conduct a life which is consistent with that knowledge. The reason I want to start this series with you, which may last a whole year, is to address one of the most fundamental missions of the church. Why is church here? Why is Christ came? Because there's a great need in this world. Humanity has fallen. Those God for whom I created and loved were lost. Christ came. He worked amongst the people, preached the gospel. When people in the beginning of his ministry saw Christ doing great things amongst them, want to keep them with them, say, "Well, you stay with us. Don't go anywhere else." We read this account both in Mark and Luke in the early chapters. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. He prayed often at daybreak, sometimes through the night. The people were looking for him to keep him from leaving them. We see that his ministry has great effects. But he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also." He came not just for the Jewish, that village, he came for all the people. Church is the body of Christ, and we represent him in the mystical sense of his presence in this world. One of our mission must also be the same as his, to seek the laws and preach the good news to them. So in this series, we wish to know what we believe, why we believe. We wish to know the one true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We wish to give an account of the reality of this world we find ourselves in. We wish to seek the purpose and the meaning of life, to answer the questions of faith in light of human reasoning, and to aid your own efforts in presenting the gospel to your neighbors, to your community. That's the reason it may take a year. So this is introduction, and also this is an invitation for you. When I speak, I will speak again next month, that you may have a chance to invite your unbelieving friends, neighbors, classmates, roommates to come so that they may hear the gospel. I want you to hear these messages and these presentations so that you yourselves also may be equipped with some thoughts that you may, with your own way, both have the desire and the tool to preach the gospels to the others. Quest for Life. We live here, there are needs, with a lot of things we are seeking after. Life have needs. And there are a lot of theories about why do we have needs, what sort of needs, how do we understand them? Well, in some ways, this is a non-question. Of course, we have to survive. We have needs. We need food. We need clothing and warmth and so forth. There are certain basic conditions that must be met for us to survive. And there's a guy by the name of Abraham Maslow, who in the 40s wrote a seminal paper on the hierarchy of needs. He says, well, you can divide needs into basically five levels. And once you met one level, then you look for the other level and so forth. He says, well, there's physiological needs for food, for drink, for shelter, for clothing. That is to say, we desire to survive. This is common to all animals. Every animal needs to eat and so forth. These are sort of built in our being that we'll need. We'll have these needs. You don't ask why there are needs. If you don't have those needs, you don't live. You just die. So that's very common for anything that's alive or animals that's alive. So he said, well, once that's met, there are other needs. The needs of safety. That is to say, not only we want to have food, we want to have food in the fridge so we can eat tomorrow, next week. We not only want food in the fridge, we want money that we can buy these food with. Not only we want money, we want lots of money in the bank. Why do we want that? Because there's a certain urge, needs for security. We want to feel secure. So we want to have a job so that we can earn some money. A secure job, that's a need. Not only a secure job, but a house that we can work. Otherwise, we're not secure. See, now, once the basic needs are met, then you think ahead. You want those needs to be met in a constant and reliable way. That is to say, there's a need for security. Then once that's met, you can live happily. Oh, not quite. You can't quite live happily by yourself. If you're all alone, and here man has started to deviate from the animal kingdom. Man is not just an animal. From the knees, you see we're not. And you see that once these are met, we are not happy to be lone wolves. We want to be part of a larger group, a larger existence. We need companionship. We want to be loved. This need, the urge for belonging, is a third level of needs. That is, we have the basic need to be loved. We want to love. We want to be loved. Now you're part of the group, and if you say, well, are you just happy to be part of the group? Well, not quite. I want to be the boss of the whole group. And there's a certain other needs that were brought up. Not just a job, but be the boss. Not just a car, but BMW. Not just McDonald's, but Four Seasons. Not just go to school, but Nobel Prize. Now, this type of needs, you say, well, who needs that? Well, once you all the three other are met, you start to feel that you need that. And you want to be respected, esteemed by the people. Once that's all done, you have the tools to do whatever you do, then the last level of needs come up and say, well, why do I live here? Now you have time to think why you are living, why you are here. Why am I here? You want to ask the question as to what is the meaning of life? What is the purpose for my existence? The need, I'll put it, to live a meaningful life. I'll address all these needs, probably not in that order, throughout this year, to see where they come from. What do they lead us to? There are many theories, as I said, of why we have needs. The theory that I thought makes most sense to me are the one that's given by a man whose name I cannot pronounce, Max Neef. I've never seen a name like N-E-E-F, so I'll pronounce it Neef. I don't know what it's Neff, Neef, whatever. And he said, oh, it's not hierarchical needs. We have what he called ontological needs. We have needs because we are human. Basically, it's from the condition of a being a human. So we have those needs. It's not that you have your stomach is full, you think of other needs. All these needs come together at the same time. Just because we are human. So our needs are different from other beings. I think he's onto something. He listed 9 in addition to the stuff that's listed in the earlier list, Maslow's list. He added things like understanding. We have the needs to understand. We have needs to recreate. Right? He's got to get onto something, right? And we said we have needs to create. Needs for identity. Who am I? That's a little bit the same as others. And also the needs for freedom. So now, there's a certain things that's built into the humanity that we have those needs. And are these needs important? Yes, according to Plato, need or necessity is the mother of invention. We are what we are because we have these needs, and these needs drives us to be who we are. See, our culture, our civilization. How do we get to where we are? Because of those needs, and the needs or the necessities are the mother of invention. And recently there's a book called The Needs and Moral Necessity. Needs. We need to meet those needs. It's a moral obligation to meet those needs. That's basically the argument. A 17-year-old goes to his mother and says, Mom, I need a car. Why does he need a car? Well, because it's a necessity. I got to have this, you see. And in spite of the fact that 200 years ago, there's no cars for humanity. Nobody heard of these cars before they lived. But now it's a necessity. Cell phones, it's a necessity. Of course it's a necessity. So the needs change in time. How come they become necessities? What are these needs? How come they sort of morph all the time? If you think a little bit deeper, you see that even though we desire for better life, there's nothing wrong with that, yet our life, humanity even, is corrupted by those desires. It seems to point out something's quite wrong. Something's wrong with humanity. Because those needs, as I mentioned earlier, are part of humanity. Ontological needs or ontological source. Now, our legitimate needs can create conflicts, anxiety, create dissatisfaction, pride, and all the problems, a lot of problems are caused by those needs. By those desires. In fact, the Buddhists will say that's the source of all human suffering. To live is to suffer, according to them. They observe and the humanity say, how do we live? And say, oh, one word to describe human existence is that they suffer. Why do we suffer? Because we want, we desire. That's the problem. That's the problem. So they have try to come up with a solution to it, and this is the basic tenets of the Buddhists or the Buddhism is called the Four Noble Truths. One of them deals with the desire business. It says the cessation of suffering is achieved by cessation of desire. Now, there is a basic saying. We all suffer. The reason we suffer, because we want, we desire. And this desire drives us and burns us. And if we can get rid of that, then we will be in a different state, and we will no longer be so anxious and all that, and we'll be happy again. So happiness is attained through those paths. They're basically saying, well, desires are bad. Desires are bad. Except it's hard to... I thought about this when I was younger. Thought about this often. I said, well, so in order to get rid of desire, I must desire to get rid of desire. No, that's a little bit hard. You see, you have to desire something first. That is to get rid of desire. And through that desire, you achieve no desire. So you see, the Buddhism, it's a little bit hard to understand. Mysterious even. So I decided it's too above me. I can't think about those things. And I decided nothing wrong with the knees if I want to eat. I mean, is that something wrong? Or other parts of humanity or the knees I presented about those categories and theories earlier. So get rid of desires is to see, it seems to be meaning that we also wanting to get rid of humanity itself. To live a life as no desire is not living a life. Human life, that is. So we must deal with needs. There must be a purpose for those needs. It's there for a purpose. It's built into our humanity. What builds it in? Our man, our creator, builds this in our hearts for a purpose. What purpose? Quest for life. So my thesis then will be, we have desires because we're human. And we must understand those desires. It's what the object it really is seeking. We have desires also because the object of our common desire exists. Now listen carefully. What we desire is not something that we constructed in our minds, that we made it up. It's abstract. It's only exists in my mind. No, if there's a common desire amongst people, that object of that desire exists. It is an external reality. It's not an internal thought. It exists. I'll illustrate with one of our most common desire, a very strong desire, which I don't know how to satisfy at the moment, is to have some water. I'm thirsty. You know what that means, right? Everyone with a normal life will feel thirst at some time in their lives. And when I speak of thirst, you understand what I mean. Yes, yes, we all experience that. We have that desire, thirst, thirst. What does it mean? It doesn't mean how the physiological process that works in you. Doctors know about these. And so, well, the salt content is too high. It stimulates that nerve stimulates this nerve, and eventually goes to your head, and you say, I'm dying of thirst. No, well, that's too complicated for me. I think the easiest solution to why we thirst for water is because there's water. If there's no water exists in the whole universe, how come you thirst for water? Would that be possible? I say, no, that would not be possible. You would not, man would not. As a group, sometimes people's mind goes wild. But as a group, when we all wanting something, desire for something, it points to the existence of that thing which you are desiring for. I'm going to extend this. And I think there are scriptural grounds for me to extend it. We must understand those needs. We can present these needs to our fellow man, classmates, and so forth. There's a common ground. That common ground is the common needs. And in order to solve this something we all want, it leads to different solutions. One of them is that all these needs points to something much deeper. It points to our Creator. The reason we have desire in our heart, because God put those in our hearts for us to seek Him. In the end, all these needs lead to Him. That will be my thesis. I'll try to develop them slowly. We have needs to live, right? I haven't personally been threatened with a gun, but I've known people, namely my brother, who has been threatened by a gun and in New York. In those days, New York is not so safe. According to some reports, it's very safe these days. But anyway, my brother once was in New York and he was threatened with a gun. The guy came out from nowhere, according to him. I don't know how people come out from nowhere. But anyway, the guy came out from nowhere and pointing gun and said, "Your life or your money." Well, this is sort of a super common statement. My brother was very smart. He's very smart. He heard "your money or your life." He took it immediately. That's not a question. The guy is not asking something. The guy is not giving him a quiz. "Your money or your life." It's a command. Give me your money, right? Why is it that we took that so immediately, that this is a command for money? Because there's no comparison. Of course we want to live. Of course, I mean, this is self-evident. We want to live. We want to live. But at your age, even if you're not very old, you know that you're going to die, don't you? It's not the news to yourself. "Oh, really? We're going to die?" You know you're going to die. You know everyone dies. Yet faced with that question, "Your money was your life." Listen, of course we want to live. But for how long? Well, you don't ask that. And this is, of course we want to live. There's an innate sense of desire, strong desire to live. Everyone have that desire. Why do we have that desire? According to my thesis, it's because eternal life is eternity, is a reality. There is something that exists outside of us called eternal life, which you can have. Our desire to live drives us for that. We just didn't know it yet. Everything else we got, we decided that's not quite it, that's quite not quite it. And people will say, "Well, to live forever, I can't, so I'm going to write lots of books." Like some of us trying to do. So that we can live spiritually, but that's not really, it doesn't really satisfy that need to live on. And some people say, "Well, I can write lots of books, maybe I can have lots of children." That's another way of, I mean, there's a desire, different ways to solve this. But it doesn't seem to really hit the spot. Our desire in our heart drives us until we found the right answer. That answer is always, almost always provided by our Lord. Needs, sometimes I said, seems to be a necessity. And so it has this very strong drive in our lives that makes who we are. Now, let me come back to that issue that the Buddhists observed, that it is our desire that burns in us, that makes us do things which we regret, cause lots of trouble for ourselves and suffering for others. You see, your money or your life is actually pairing two needs. One is that sort of second level security need I spoke of. The third one is sort of innate within we want to live needs. Now, which need is more necessary? Of course, it's to live, but wait. Let's not be so rash, because that's when humanity is fallen. We don't think clearly. We lack that foresight or insight. Now, if you have $1,000, the guy with a gun says, "Your money or your life?" Well, $1,000 is a lot of money, but you can deal with it, hope, right? So my brother, who was robbed once, decided he was going to carry two wallets from that time on whenever he goes to New York. One wallet is thick, contain a lot of this expired credit cards and all kinds of junk in there, and the $5, the real $5. Okay, you have to have some real money in there, but not too much. So your money when I give it, see, just limit your loss. Now, you see, your money or your life, the answer seems dependent on how much money, right? If you have, let's not say you, because that becomes too personal. Let's say someone you love, your kid. We have your kid, $1,000, or his life. Oh, keep him alone. Well, I will send $1,000 right away. $10,000, or his life. $10,000, no problem. $100,000, or his life. He said, I don't have that much, but I probably can borrow $1,000,000 or his life. Finally, after all this plead, I got my wallet. That's called insight. He's listening. Or someone else is listening and pointing out this to him. I really should drink this with a cup, don't you think? No, that's all right. Now, forget about the cup business. You heard of this abduction of Paul Getty III. The guy is the third because he was loved by his father, the junior. And the junior was loved by his father because, has that name, because he was loved by his father, John Paul Sr., who was a billionaire. Paul Getty is the founder of the Getty Oil. He was a billionaire. At the time, he has about $2 billion in the 70s. His son, the third, was sort of living it up. At that time, I think he was 17 or so, living it up in Rome and got, if you live up in Rome, it's not a good idea, you get abducted. So they send a note to John Paul, the senior, and said, well, 30 million or his life. 30 million out of a 3 billion or so is one part, one tenth of a 1%, right? It's just a little bit. If you're $1,000, they say, well, give me $1 so that we can release your kid. I mean, you don't think, would you think this is a good bargain? Of course it is. Now, the same question, when you multiply this by a million, it becomes different. By actually 10 million. You say, well, $30 million or it's life. The old guy says, well, take his life. I'm not going to give you $30 million. I have lots of grandchildren. So he has his reason. Whatever that reason is, life is not now no more valuable than that princely sum. Would you be led to confuse the value of life and money, if the money is a lot? Probably would, actually. There are people who are willing to die for $1 million or even less. So our needs can be corrupted. Once it's corrupted, we think wrongly. And that is probably the reason for lots of suffering that we'll experience. Well, by the way, the John Paul Getty resolution was that there was a bargain, and in the end, something like $2 million exchange hand. And the exact number is not known, but people generally think it's about $2 million. And after the threat of a lock of hair and one human ear that sent through the mail. So the guy says, the kidnapper say, look, this is your kid's ear, because it's got the earring on it. I mean, those times, that's somehow rare. That's the ear. That's the ear. If you don't pay up every week, we send you something else. Oh, that's pretty gruesome. So the old man decided he's going to negotiate. Negotiate. The one desire for richness, for money, can overcome, can overtake the light, because he doesn't understand what light is. Okay, so the content of this series contains the following topic, not necessarily in that order, and I may change, I reserve the right to change them. What are these things? The search for joy, and what is it, and how to find it? When we find it, what do we find? Search for joy, the search for peace, search for significance and meaning of life, the search for freedom, the search for knowledge, the search for truth. Are there truth? Search for love. What is love? Search for goodness. We not only want to live, we want to live right. Search for goodness. Search for hope. Search for life itself. There contains about 10. And some of them may take 2 sessions. So if the Lord so leads, that will be this year's discussion with you. And you may want to call this planning, but I call this foolishness. But anyway, that's what we're going to do. And let's try to bring this particular message to an end. It is my thesis, as I said earlier, that I intend to prove that our needs are there to bring us back to our Creator, who puts these needs in our hearts, that we may find ultimate satisfaction only in Him. There's scriptural proof and there are life experience behind it. The fact that we think something will satisfy us because we have those needs in the end does not satisfy us. That statement has something to do with how old you are. The older you are, the more you've experienced, the more disappointment, if you wish, to know the wrong things with the right desire does not satisfy that desire. We want to know why we are here, why we are on this earth. We all have some desire to know the purpose of life, don't we? Why is it important? Because that's how you can live. Why do I say that? Because to live in a world that's so complicated with so many demands and so many things you need to do, you must be able to have a proper priority so they can use your time properly. If you don't have that priority set in your life, then there will be too many things. You'll be so tired every day. At the end of the day, you don't know why you're so tired. You're working on all kinds of things. You are so tired. The next day is the same. And the days just flew by. And so what's important? Why am I spending my time this way? Well, in order to do that, to spend your time efficiently, all experts, without any exception, will tell you that you must have a priority. No, what is priority? What is important? Do that thing which is most important. They all tell. They all teach us things that you are not so important. You don't have time to do. It's okay. It's okay. Don't sweat it. Do that which is most important. But what is important? The definition of important is that something that's related to the goal of your mission. If you have a mission, you have a goal. Something's related to that goal, it's called important. If it's not related, it's not important. Peripherally related is a little bit important. Okay, so we have some way of judging what is important. Once you know what is important, you can live an efficient life. You spend your time on those which is you must spend time on. Right? That's sort of common sense, but the rub is that the definition of importance. That which is consistent with your goal. Now, what is the goal of your life? Why am I here? Time is the stuff that life is made up with, as according to Franklin. So, this spending time, spending life is basically the same. How do you use time? You must know the purpose of your life. What is the purpose of your life, our life? There are many theories, as many theories as the needs thing. Too complicated. And in the end, people will say, well, the purpose of life, you have to make it, this is called existentialism. You make it as you go. And those are not very good answers to me. Unless there is intrinsic purpose. It's not a purpose. But if man is just evolved out of a sort of, if man is a product of a process which does not have you in mind, you're just there. Something by chance, collide, whoops, pop out you. You say, why am I here? That's not the question. There's no reason for you to be here. So that's why, without God, we can ask the question, well, what is the purpose of life? If you don't want to ask that question, put onto a real, more solid ground, a better ground, if you wish, is that we come to terms with the fact that life is created. Creation implies purpose. If we are created, it means there's an inbuilt, built-in purpose. There's an intrinsic purpose to our life. Right? Other people may not know, you may not know, but the Creator knows. So in order for you to know why you're here, you must know Him. Otherwise, you never know. A quick illustration, I'm done. When I was first hired by Exxon Research Company as a physicist, at that time, they were going to build a Dow Labs of the oil industry. Exxon's sort of a brimming with money, if anything else. They don't have, they really have money. And so decided they're going to build a first-rate laboratory that does physics. I mean, that's also, among other things, physics. So I was sort of riding that wave and worked for Exxon. First day, reporting to work, I learned of a rule which was never happened in any university. That is, when you go home, you must lock your door. Why? I have no idea. All the good stuff is on the table, they say. So you must lock your drawer. Didn't say put things in the drawer, but lock your drawer. So I decided that's easy enough task, except they didn't give me a key. No key, lock the drawer. Ah, a test. All new employees must go through this sort of see whether you're resourceful. Or simply just lie, I did lock it, by the way. So I decided, well, I've seen 007. You see those pictures? You took something, you know, in the laboratory you have lots of tools. So I took a right-sized paper clip and take a plier that bends the end with various length and use different ones to, you know, I mean, it's not hard. To unlock a desk is really easy. Okay. I discovered that by experience. So I can this paper clip, which I distorted and make it in all kinds of shape, and doesn't work. So I put it on the table, throw the rest away, happily goes home, pass the task. So the next morning, I came into work, and there's a colleague came in. Oh, hi, John. Welcome to Exxon. As we talk, he saw something on my desk that is a distorted paper clip, a totally useless thing, clutter my desk. So he tried to do me a service by pick up this paperclip, throw it in the wastebasket. I said, no. I have use for it. Why can't I say it? I made it. In creation, always imply purpose. To know the Creator is the only path, logical path, one should take to know your purpose. More about this later. Enough for today. Let's pray. Father, you know our needs. You know all our needs. Father, we pray that we may bring all those that we need to you, that you may shine your light on it, that we may know what we should be desiring, and we may know that for all we desire, in the end, we desire you. I pray that you give us wisdom, that we know how to communicate and share this good news with our friends, And also the desire that we have to share this great news with our friends. Only you can do that. Thank you, Lord. You continue building us up in your love and your light. I commit this whole series in your hand. I commit all the ears that heard this message in your hands, that you might use it to your glory. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.